are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
All right, dial up the Irish jig. It's St. Patrick's week. It's St. Joseph's week. It's a time of joy, festivities, memories, great families celebrating the life of St. Patrick and St. Joseph this week. Hi, I'm your host, Ann McClone, and you're listening to Thy Will Be Done. It's March 15th, 2021. And we have a very special program lined up for you. But first, I want to tell you about a special prayer to St. Joseph. And I'm asking if you're listening right now to pray with me this prayer to St. Joseph, which is over 1,900 years old. This prayer was found in the 50th year of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the 1500s, it was sent by the Pope to Emperor Charles when he was going into battle. Now, whoever reads or prays this prayer, or hears it, or carries it, will never die a sudden death, nor be drowned, nor will poison take effect on them. They will not fall into hands of the enemy, nor be burned in any fire, nor will they be defeated in battle. Make this prayer known to everyone. Again, this is a prayer over 1,900 years old. So pray it with me, my sisters and brothers. O St. Joseph, whose protection is so great, so strong, so prompt before the throne of God, I place in you all my interests and desires. O St. Joseph, do assist me by your powerful intercession and obtain for me, by your divine Son, all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that having engaged here below your heavenly power, I offer my thanksgiving and homage to the most loving of fathers. O St. Joseph, I never weary contemplating you and Jesus asleep in your arms. I dare not approach while he reposes near your heart. Press him in my name. Kiss his fine head for me. And ask him to return the kiss when I draw my dying breath. St. Joseph, patron of departing souls, pray for us. Amen. So Friday, my friends, is the feast of St. Joseph. And I hope many of you are doing the consecration to St. Joseph. If not, go find the book, The Consecration of St. Joseph, written by Father Don Calloway. Excuse me. It's a very powerful book. And of course, we have St. Patrick's Day, which is on Wednesday. And look up the life of St. Patrick. I wanted to have the Irish singer Dana, or Donna, call in from Ireland for this week, but perhaps next week or the following week. It depends on her schedule. I'd love to have her call in and give us a little bit of background about what she's doing in Ireland and what's happening. Excuse me of my cold. But God is working a powerful work. And so today, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, the comfort zone, moving beyond our comfort zones in all aspects of spiritual and ministry life. How Jesus's command to love is directly related to your comfort zone. Don't you love it? Well, I have a comfort zone executive coming on the air about 4:10. And we're going to be talking to Gloria Coyne. Many of you know her, involved with the Charismatic Renewal here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. But many of you do not know that she is a retired co-owner of two healthcare IT companies. That's right, two healthcare IT companies. She was appointed liaison in 2008 to the National Advisory Council of the NSC Caris Center. She's elected to the Association of Diocesan Liaison Steering Committee. She was elected to the Board of Pentecost Today for the USA. She was invited to the Vatican in 2019 for the launch of the Caris Initiative. Administrator for the World Meeting of Families International Charismatic Event, Wells Fargo She's been a speaker at national, regional, and local events. She has also served on the board of Catholic Charities. I'm out of breath and getting tired from listening to all the things that she's doing. She's currently on the committee for the Archbishop's Benefit for Children. She's married to her husband, Joe, for 38 years and lives in Yardley, PA. Now, Gloria's going to be going over some topics. If you feel like, oh, I'm really secure, I'm feeling good today, I don't have to do anything, you know, God has me where he wants me, and he may, this is the program for you, because we're all going to test out our comfort zones today. I'm included, my friends. I'm going to test out my comfort zone. I have way too many comfort zones, way too many things that keep me secure, and I don't like to take that one step out of the comfort zone. So when Gloria calls in, I want you to listen intently, to share with others about this program, and of course, to share with others about this magnificent apostolate. Don't forget, before we get into the program, I want to remind you about the amazing In His Sign Catholic Radio Network golf tournament, Monday, April 26th, at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. It's the major fundraiser for this ministry, this and the Wake Up America dinner in the fall. Kathleen's not one to be on the air every day asking for money. But these are the two biggie fundraisers, and this golf event, which was canceled from the fall because of COVID, is now scheduled for Monday, April 26th. Look, we need some real benefactors to step up. We need restaurant gift cards, retail gift cards, Visa gift cards, themed gift baskets, maybe from your company or your favorite store, a basket of cheer. How about some autographed sports memorabilia? A B&B voucher for a weekend getaway. Kathleen holds a very, very strong silent auction, which really benefits this ministry. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. And guess what? You don't even have to play golf. Yep, that's right. But if you're interested in golfing or would like to sponsor the tournament, please call Maureen at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906 for additional information on becoming a tournament sponsor. And there are multiple levels of sponsorship, all right? So if you don't golf, that would be me. If you don't golf or you're unable to attend, you can still help support the event. Again, we're in need of items for our silent auction. Or you may consider joining us for dinner and the evening program. And I heard the food is terrific. So again, it's April 26th, Old York Road Country Club, Springhouse, Pennsylvania. Monday, April 26th. It benefits In His Sign Catholic Radio Golf Tournament. I see that they have foursome prizes, longest drive, closest to pin, and grand prize for putting shootout contest. So the price includes green fees, cart fees, golfer gift, barbecue buffet lunch, beer and soda throughout the tournament, and a buffet dinner. How can you miss this one? So again, April 26th, the Old York Road Country Club, Springhouse, PA, to benefit In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. And I want all of you to know, and you probably have heard Kathleen say this, we're all volunteers. No one is paid, including Kathleen. She is not paid, except Maureen, the administrator. She is paid to run this ministry, which is on the air 24/7 around the world on the internet. So your dollar counts. Every dollar counts. And we are looking forward to you participating this year, that this would be the best year ever. It's the year of St. Joseph. He was a great steward. And so we're asking you also to be a great steward. But in the meantime, I have a great guest who will be on the line with me. And it's Gloria Coyne. Gloria, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Ann. How are you doing?
Wonderful. I already gave a little bio before the golf tournament of your amazing background, and I said I was getting tired reading all the things you're doing. It's astonishing. It's astonishing.
Well, to God be the glory, because none of that stuff I'm doing on my own, I trust me.
And I love the fact, I didn't share this the last time you were on the air, you are a retired co-owner of two healthcare IT companies. Not one, but two. So you need to be retired to do the 10 other things you're doing for the Lord right now. So we are so blessed to have you on the air with us today, Gloria.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate you inviting me. I was concerned, though, because my last name is Coynan. I wasn't sure if you were doing an Irish week with Anne McGlone and Kathleen McCarthy and Gloria Coyne. So I'm glad to be here during this special week for Irish people.
You know what? Yeah, you just put a thought in my head. The three of us, you know, we should be celebrating. We should do a call-in with Kathleen and tell some Irish stories with you as well.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Well, again, one of the topics I share with our listeners is, and I love this topic, the comfort zone, moving beyond our comfort zones in all aspects of our spiritual and ministry life. So take us on a journey, Gloria. Why in the world would you choose such a topic?
Well, actually, it's almost my personal journey. And, you know that I was away from the church for a while. So when I came back to the church, you know, the very first question in the Baltimore Catechism, why did God make me?
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I thought, okay, I'm getting serious about my faith now. So why exactly am I here now? And that's how this whole thing started. You know, being a good Philadelphian, I tried to figure out what my gifts and talents were, and I did the Ben Franklin method. So I had one side of the paper where I put down the things that I thought I could do or I liked to do, and the other side of the paper were things I didn't like to do. And I looked at it at the end of this, and I went like, what a mishmash. I can't do anything with this. Kind of crumpled up the paper and threw it away. So it was really a journey to try and decide, you know, Lord, why exactly am I here now? And it was kind of interesting because when you have gifts and talents, many times people don't even recognize it's their gift or talent. It's just them. So God did not send me a telegram. I'm really dating myself. Now he would send an email or a text message. But, you know, I had to kind of go on a self-discovery. And one of the ways that I began to understand how God was using me was I looked back on ways that he was currently using me. And so starting out small was that, I guess really was I call supermarket ministry. By that I mean I would go into the supermarket and this person would come up to me and start telling me their life history, start telling me a story, start telling me some problem or some issue that they were having. And the first time it happened, you know, I just kind of, okay, well, that was unusual. But it happened more frequently until the point where I started to get it. God was working with a slow learner here. And then I started to understand that they were really divine appointments. And for whatever reason, maybe that person that day needed to talk to somebody. Maybe they had no one else to talk to that they could unburden to. Maybe, you know, it was the case where, and sometimes I would just listen. Sometimes I would say, you know, can I pray for you? And sometimes as I got more spiritually mature, I say, can I pray with you? So I saw God using me in that way. And so, again, I just urge your listeners to, you all have gifts and talents that you probably don't even realize. Just to look back and to see how God's currently using you, and that might be a clue as to what God wants you to do going forward. So, anyway, basically, I started to, again, think more seriously about, you know, how God wanted to use me. And, you know, the whole talk came about when I did this at Malvern about comfort zone. It was going back to the very beginning to, quite honestly, to your conception, if you think about it that way. Because it says in Jeremiah, you know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And so God gives us all of our gifts and talents and our personality, everything at conception. And then he says later on, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So he's already set the groundwork for what you need to do. But here's the kicker. There is a great urgency right now for all of us that are here. So I was thinking about this too, and you know, there are so many wonderful saints. You know, you have Teresa of Lisieux, and you have, you know, St. Catherine of Siena, and you've got Padre Pio and St. Francis, and our Philadelphia saints, you know, St. John Newman and St. Catherine Drexel. And they were here. They had a point in time when God called them to be on earth, but they're gone now. But we're here. So we are the Latter-day Saints, as I'm thinking of it. And there is an urgency for us. There's a line in Scripture from Esther, "You were born for such a time as this." I was in a hotel room. This was about a few years back, and I was praying in my hotel room before a leaders' conference, and I felt I had heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "You're privileged." And then he said, "Not in the way that the world knows privilege, but you're privileged to be around now." So I had to really meditate on that and think about, you know, what did he mean when he said that? And if you look at the time that we're in, there is such a great urgency because it's up to us. We're the ones now that have to defend our faith. If you look around at our culture and you see what's going on, you see right now that God has had men and women that he's raising up to defend the faith, to have the courage to live your faith, to, how would I put this, to be the hands, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, the body that can show the love of the Father and can relate that love to the people, because right now things are just so broken. Everything is topsy-turvy. You know, we look at, I mean, you and Aunt, we've had this discussion before, you know, the legislature in New York that cheers not only for the third trimester abortion, but the fact that a baby can be born and on its birthday, they can kill that baby, and that's infanticide. You know, we've taken God out of our schools. You know, look at, now I know we've had this pandemic, but look at what the devil's been able to do. He's managed to close churches. We had to give up a lot of sacramentals, couldn't use holy water in church. You know, he's kept us 6 feet apart, distancing us from one another. We've had to wear these masks. And again, you don't see the smile and the joy from people with these masks on. It's hard to communicate with these masks on. He's basically silencing the church. So we are really called for such a time as this. And so I'm hoping that your listeners will just be perhaps introspective during the remaining weeks of Lent and think about how God is using them this year, especially, and what they're called to do for the church to build up the kingdom and to promote that love of God to his children.
You know, one of the lines that I love that you use is, "Hey, it's time to get out of the boat. It's time to get out of the boat." Right. I love it. I love it. I can just hear you yelling, "Hey, crew team, get out of the boat." So what do you mean spiritually by this, Gloria?
Well, you know, you run into all of these obstacles in your own mind, basically, as to why you don't do more or you think you can't do more. And so I always think about people usually define their ministries by other gifts and talents.
Right.
But Jesus many times asks us to do what we think we can't do. And that's how you know that it's supernatural. So if you have a natural talent like playing the piano, that's wonderful. But I've seen people in church when they're functioning under a supernatural charism, and God takes the super and puts it on top of the natural, and it's really a beautiful thing. So if you're relying just on your own efforts, that's not necessarily going to work. But if you function in the supernatural charisms that, again, you allow God to come in and work in you and through you, many, many things could be accomplished that you don't even think you could possibly do. So I had a whole list of my excuses over the years that I tried to give to God that he didn't actually buy. So I had a whole list, and you know, at one point, you know, God would ask me to do something, and I'd say, "No, I can't do that. I'm too young."
Yes. You want me to
now
do
I'm
what?
On the other side. I'm a little too old at this side.
Yeah.
Or, you know, excuse me, I'd say, "I don't know how," or, "I don't have the resources. I don't have the money. I don't have the education or the training. You know, I'm afraid of what others are going to say. You know, I tried it in the past. It didn't work out. I don't want to do this again. You know, it's too big a task." Or there's one especially I think people say now is, "I'm too busy."
Yes.
So I think that this is what happens. I think that, you know, we bump up to all these excuses. And just to give you one example, I was I got a phone call from my counterpart, the liaison, and I guess it was in Boston, I think it was, that he was at, and he said, can you go down and pick up these two men? They're coming in from Italy at the airport, and they have a meeting with Archbishop Chaput. And I said, oh, sure, I can do that. So I picked the two gentlemen up, and I was taking them over to the, at that time, the pastoral center. And I said, okay, so what time do you want me to pick you back up again? They said, oh, no, you have to come into the meeting with us.
Oh.
And I went, oh, no, no, I'm only supposed to take you to this meeting. They said, no, you're supposed to be here. I went, okay. So I walked in. Well, it turned out that this was for the World Meeting of Families. And every time they do the World Meeting of Families, they have an international charismatic event that they do in conjunction with the World Meeting of Families for the family. And so suddenly I became the administrator for this event. And I said, well, how many people usually attend? And they said about 6,000 or 7,000. I went, oh. So in my mind, I'm going through the excuses. Okay, so we're Charismatic Renewal, but we're under the umbrella of the Archdiocese, but we don't have an office, we don't have any money, we don't have resources.
Right.
You know, everyone is a volunteer. We functioned virtually before it became a thing. We've been doing that for a long time. And, you know, we have to put together this event. So, you know, we're dealing with Homeland Security, the Vatican Foundation for the Family, the Vatican itself, the Archdiocese, you know, all kinds of issues that I've never had to encounter in my life, and I did not have the training to do any of this. So I certainly did pray, and I asked God to send those ministering angels because we really needed the help. And when I found out that we had about 7,000 people, I started looking for places for the people. Well, first time I looked at Drexel University, did the site visit, ready to sign the contract, and they said, you know, you can't have that because we're going to need this in case there's an emergency for the medical, and we need to have that space to bring people in. Okay, so then I went over to Penn. We did the same thing. And, well, you can't have that because, and they had a reason why I couldn't use that place. And then I tried Villanova. I tried St. Joe's. I was even going to the Marriott Convention Center, and they said, well, you could have it there, but nobody's going to be able to get to your event because it's in the security zone.
Oh.
So it was 3 weeks away mm-hmm. from having this event, and I had no place for 7,000 people and 60 buses coming down from New York, and I had cardinals and bishops lined up in music ministry and all of the preparations, and I had no place, literally, for this. So I remember talking to a counterpart of mine that was in Virginia, and I said, you know, I always pray God open the door, shut the door, and I don't know, maybe I didn't hear him correctly. Maybe we're not supposed to do this. And so I said, you know, we need a sign, almost like in the days of Noah,
mm-hmm.
like a rainbow. And so I kind of joked about that and sort of dismissed it and went on to go about doing my work. Well, that day in Philadelphia, it was a series of rolling thunderstorms that were coming through. And so I'm working on my computer, and then I noticed there was a thunderstorm, and so I went, oh, and I go out to my front door, and I look to my left, which is where if I'm going to see a rainbow, I would see it there, and there's no rainbow. And I went, huh, okay. And I went back, and I'm going back, and I'm working, and then the next storm comes through. So I pop up again, and I go out, and I look at the door, no rainbow. Well, this happened two more times. And when I got out the final time, it was the last possible moment that I could have seen a rainbow, and it was getting dark then, so I figured, well, you know, maybe that's the sign from God that we're not supposed to be doing this. And with that, I went back to my computer, and on my computer screen, it said, rare fire rainbow. And there was a beautiful picture. I'll have to send it to you. It's in actually looks like the Holy Spirit with an anointing coming down from it, a beautiful rainbow, very unusual, and it was in North Carolina. It wasn't in Philly, but God was just showing me. He was answering my prayer, but he also wanted me to realize that he would answer it the way he wanted to answer it. He gave me the rainbow, but not the way I thought it had to be answered by him. So he's always teaching us lessons along the way if we pay attention. And so then I knew we'd be okay, and then we ended up, I saw that Wells Fargo, all the buses were allowed to go to Wells Fargo, and I said, are you open that day? Can we have something here? And they said, oh, sure. So we ended up having it at Wells Fargo, which was perfect. It worked out. And that was like the very last place we hadn't even considered because we thought all the buses and parking was going to be there. That wasn't even an option for us. But if you look at Scripture and all of the people, I mean, just tons of people that have had excuses. You know, Moses at the burning bush, You know, God says to him, you know, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. And, you know, he's there, well, you know, I stutter. I want to get my brother. Like, God doesn't know exactly what he has there when he's dealing with Moses. You know, and then we look at some of the other things, too, like some of the other excuses. You know, we look at Abraham and Sarah. You know, well, I'm too old. You know, well, it's impossible. That's not going to happen. God doesn't take excuses. You know, he works around that. And that's actually how we know that it is his hand on things, because he is the God of the impossible. You know, we look at excuses like I'm too young. And we have the example of, you know, David and Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to do even though he was considered too young. We look at, well, I don't have any, you know, money, or I don't have any resources. Well, that's not a problem for God. You know, we have the example of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. One of my personal favorite ones is the one in the story about the temple tax. You know, where Peter says, we don't have the money for the temple tax. And Jesus looks at him and says, basically, go fishing. Now, if you heard that today from the Lord, you go like, I must not be hearing from God. That
right.
Can't be right.
Yes.
But sure enough, he went out and he found this fish, and it had the right number of coins to pay the temple tax. And we have, you know, like the Blessed Mother, if there was ever a person that had to move beyond her comfort zone at the Annunciation and all throughout, you know, her life with Jesus, she was constantly up against those situations where that was stretching her, you know, from a normal person that, again, didn't have this experience. And now look at what she's been asked to do as the mother of our Savior, you know, to even accept that. And then we have the example of Jesus in the garden, you know, and if you feel people are working against you, or they're speaking ill of you, look what happened to Jesus in the garden, and everything that looked like it was too big a task. And Jesus even said, you know, Father, if this cup can pass from me. But he accepted it, and he did it willfully. You know, he consciously said, no, you know, not my will, but yours be done. So we just have to remember that God's in control, and he always, again, if we just be obedient, and if we just open up and just say, yes, Lord, and just surrender, God can do tremendous things through us.
Well, I'm looking towards the end of the program today, Gloria, when we're going to do a surrender prayer. We want a lot of yeses. You know, we want to open up Philadelphia, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, New York, and all of the people in various states across the country and the world. We're going to do a yes moment at the end of this program, right?
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Well, my friend, we're going to, if you stay on the line, we're going to go to a commercial break. Friends, right after the commercial, we'll be back with Gloria Coyne.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone, because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. and we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic Radio Apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back. It's St. Patty's Week and St. Joseph's Week, and that makes my friend Gloria Coyne laugh because we're both reaching out of our comfort zone today. My friends, if you're just tuning in, Gloria Coyne is our special guest, and we're speaking about comfort zones, moving beyond our comfort zones in all aspects, from our spiritual life and our ministry life and our daily life. And, I mean, Gloria is just full of amazing stories. But you know what, Gloria? I'm going to nail you on this. You were not just born with this great gift of expecting God to move you from one comfort zone to another. You know, he blessed you with a special grace to know when he wants to act or when to stop and wait. What would you tell our listeners in terms of learning to stop, wait, or to move from one comfort zone to another?
Well, again, everyone's journey is individual, and I think, again, the most important thing is to have an active prayer life and to try and grow in holiness. And if you're genuine, you're sincere, and you say to the Lord, you know, what do you want me to do for you, Lord? He answers. He responds. And he will go and give you things. You know, if you're faithful in the little things, he'll put you in charge over much. And so you might start out with a little thing for each person, but, you know, then he's going to go and take you and to the next level. Nothing I've learned in the past has ever been wasted. That was the other thing. That was a huge lesson for me. You know, I've talked about this in the past. I was involved in the New Age for quite some time. And so when I came back to the church, you know, I'm thinking, you know, that was a part of me in the past. But God's used that and that knowledge that I had, even of the evil, the knowledge that I had at that time, because now I'm really doing everything I can to promote the Holy Spirit, which is the complete opposite of the evil spirit. So there's one way that God used that. He is the ultimate in terms of recycling because he doesn't let anything go to waste. Anything that I learned in business that God taught me, he's used for ministry work. So, again, these supposed unrelated random skills and things that you acquire in your life, these gifts, these talents that you think you have, are all used in a variety of ways later on. Nothing ever goes to waste. And look at your life. Look at everything that you've accomplished.
Well, I love the line. I have to use it. Christ is the ultimate recycler. He doesn't, I'd love it. He's the ultimate recycler. I have to tell you a story and tell our listeners really quickly about last week. Gloria, as you know, I have an illness and I was going to take a nap, excuse me. And as I was, I put the Afghan on me and I heard the Lord, seriously heard the Lord, like a Marine, say, get up, go to adoration. Now, my comfort zone was taking a nap on the couch with a homemade Afghan, and I didn't intend to go anywhere. So I thought, oh, I'm hearing things. So I laid down on the pillow again, get up, and go to adoration. Not one other word, not one other syllable. So I put my sneakers on and told my husband, I have to go to adoration. So there are three adoration chapels near my home. So I had to get out of my comfort zone. Just had to move out of that comfort zone. And so I walked in the chapel, and there was a prayer meeting going on. And I waited in the back, and I just prayed and said, why do you want me here? I mean, what's the deal? You told me to get up, get over here. And so I looked up, and there was a woman that had been wanting prayer. And she saw me, and I saw her, and we went out to the vestibule, and she was desperate for prayer. And so I prayed over her, and a beautiful woman of God, and I just prayed over her just momentarily. But the message here is about the comfort zone. My comfort zone was taking a nap, and I didn't have any intention of moving off that couch, and yeah. literally heard the Lord, like a Marine sergeant, get up, go to adoration. Never in my life, Gloria, has that happened. So when you speak about the comfort zone, moving beyond our comfort, I can attest to it personally, even a week ago.
Well, that's what I was saying about the supermarket ministry, in a way that God uses us, and there are these divine appointments, but we just have to pay attention, and you did. And you could have said, no, Lord, I hear you, but I'm going to do what I want to do. So that's why it's a surrender to God. And, you know, praise God you did that, and you said yes. You know, comfort zone does relate to our spiritual journey as well. You know, sometimes, you know, do we want to stay in bed in the morning, or would you get up 15 minutes earlier and spend that time in prayer,
mm-hmm.
you know, or reading scripture? Or maybe you're, you know, make an effort to go to one extra mass during the week. So it is an effort to get out and move beyond our comfort zone, even spiritually, from what we normally do. I'll give you another example. When I was younger, I thought I was a generous person. You know, I mean, I gave, you know, to the church, and I donated clothes, you know, that I wasn't going to use anymore. And then God spoke to me, and he let me know that I was being generous out of my excess, but not sacrificial.
Wow.
So that got me out of my comfort zone, because here I thought I was a wonderful person. So, you know, we're all on a journey, and thank God I have been old enough that I can live long enough so you can correct all the mistakes that are there one by one. But, you know, it's just really incredible, and he'll work with you, you know, and he's such a kind, gentle, loving God. He really wants the best for us. And this is not to condemn anybody to say, oh, you know, I haven't done this or I haven't done that. It's not that at all. It's just that he wants you to recognize how special you are and how important you are to his work, especially at this point in time in history. He needs us. He really needs us to do what's needed to be done. So I just encourage your listeners again to, like, maybe take some time during Lent and think about, you know, were there some times in the past where, you know, perhaps, you know, you thought about doing something. Now, you said yes. But maybe there were times when, you know, God asked you to do something and you're saying, like, nah, I don't think I'm going to do this now. You know, you heard the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but you said no. You know, or did you think that maybe there were times when, like, you didn't move out of your comfort zone when you had an opportunity, and that opportunity, you know, passed you by. There's a woman, Catherine Coleman.
Mm.
She has had a really beautiful healing ministry. You know, just like Kathleen McCarthy, a beautiful healing ministry. And, you know, when we say this, that they have a healing ministry, we know God's the one that really does all the healing. They're just channels for his love and his healing touch to come through to the people. And so the reporter asked one time, you know, how is it that you have such a large healing ministry? And she said, basically, she said, God told me that he had asked 40 other people before me, and I'm the first one that said yes.
Oh,
my. So sometimes, you know, God has a plan, and he has something he needs to have carried out. And, you know, he's going to keep going through people. He gives you an opportunity, you know, and you can say yes or you can say no. You know, you have that free will. But if God's asking you, and the other important thing in this whole process is discernment, you know, you can go and, you know, the devil can keep you busy too. So you have to make sure when you hear from the Holy Spirit, you hear from the Lord, in whatever way he communicates with you, make sure that you discern that that's what it is. And he will always confirm it for you. You know, if you have any doubts, he'll always confirm it. And Catherine Coleman, she had this one interesting quote. She said, I surrender unto him all there was of me, everything. Then for the first time, I realized what it meant to have real power. So she is just an incredible person. I'm just amazed by some of the things that she's done in her life, and again, with complete surrender.
You know, I used to love to read her books, and when in the early years my younger years in the 70s, I used to pray and say, Lord, can I have the gifts of Catherine Coleman? Boy, if you asked for those gifts, little did I know, I was just enamored with how she loved people and how she would get so dressed up to pray over people. And God wants us to be, even if you're in a house dress or sweatpants right now, you just ran around the block, or you're cleaning your bathroom. You know, all of us are called to be moved out of our comfort zone today, aren't we? All of us.
Yes, amen.
This is not a message for one person. This is every single person who is listening today is being called out of the comfort zone. So speak to the person.
I absolutely agree.
Speak to the person, Gloria. You have great prophetic gifts. Speak to the person right now who thinks, okay, I'm stuck in my house or my apartment or my room because of the pandemic, and my comfort zone, I'm scared. I'm in a fear zone. And how in the world can I move out of this apartment room? The way my finances are going, I'm too scared to do anything. So speak to that person, Gloria, who is hearing comfort but then is feeling fear.
You know, well, we know in Scripture that God does not give us a spirit of fear. That's from the enemy. And God can use you wherever you're at. You know, think about if you rely on the Holy Spirit. St. Teresa of Lisieux became a doctor of the church, and she didn't get very far from her house. So I think, again, you just think about, you know, God, how can I do what you've called me to do? He will respond. He will answer. It may not be anything more in your mind than, gee, I'm just here and I'm just praying. I'm afraid to go and do anything else. But maybe God's calling you to be a powerful intercessor. Maybe the fact that you are home and maybe you want to go out and, you know, not the fear aspect of it, but that you'd like to go out, but with other things going on in your life that, you know, you have these responsibilities for children or for parents or whatever it is, or, you know, you have your job and you have to stay around your house all day long now because you have to do everything on these Zoom meetings. And, you know, God can use you wherever you're at to do the work that he's calling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not always going to be the case, you know, where we're having this pandemic. Again, I believe there's going to be a mighty move of God. Not only am I feeling this, but many of our Catholic brothers and sisters are feeling that God's about to make this big move on our earth. Many of our Protestant brothers and sisters are feeling the same thing. They're calling it, you know, the third great awakening. We feel that there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit greater than Pentecost in terms of bringing people back to the Lord. So stay tuned. You know, do what you can do right now. Don't get caught up in fear. Recognize you have all of the spiritual help available to you. You've got Saint Michael and all of the angel armies. You know, you've got the Blessed Mother you can call upon. You've got sacred scripture you can read. You know, make sure you use sacramentals and all that. Stay in tune with what God's calling you to do. You have a spiritual family. You know, you have prayer partners. Do you have someone that you can sit down with and you can say, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable today. You know, would you pray with me? You know, don't forget the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, use everything you have available to you. Plead the blood of the Lamb over you, your family, over your spiritual work, your ministry work. You know, and in the year of St. Joseph, I always love to call upon St. Joseph as care of demons. So if there's anything that's fearful right now, call upon St. Joseph and he'll help you with that. Of course, Mass. I mean, how can we say anything against the Mass? That's a healing service every single time. We talk in Charismatic Renewal about we have these, you know, healing masses, but really every single Mass is a healing service.
And of
I think
course,
there's a lot where you can do just where you're at.
Yes, yes. Now, Gloria, I'm going to take you back. You dropped a spiritual pearl on our listeners. The Protestant evangelicals and the charismatic evangelicals are talking about a third awakening, reawakening. Can you elaborate? Mm-hmm. I mean, you cannot drop that on us without just I mean, you always do that to us. Just a little, you dropped a tidbit, so fill the story out a little bit. What does that mean, a third reawakening?
All right, so if you think about the last century, you know, it started with Blessed Elena, and she was writing letters to Pope Leo XIII.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pope Leo XIII on January 1st basically dedicated the century to the Holy Spirit. We had the Azusa Street Revival. We had Kansas City, Topeka, Kansas, and that was going on as well. We had a number of Pentecostal denominations that were cropping up. We had Catholic Charismatic Renewal in 1967, which was an outpouring really from the Vatican Council, Second Vatican Council. So last century was really about the century, I'd say, of the Holy Spirit and a more of a conscious awareness of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does in a person's life. So that was the last century. This century, from what we're seeing right now, we feel that there are fruits that are coming, and there's like a tipping point that seems to be happening. And don't we say in Scripture, it says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more?
Mm-hmm.
And again, look back at our culture and see what's going on. So we feel that with this prepping the landscape that the Holy Spirit did at the last century, that this century, he's really bringing us together, Protestant brothers and sisters, and there is more of a unity because we're all seeking the same thing. You know, Jesus said, you know, the last thing that he basically said was, you know, we had the two great commandments, loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. But Jesus was saying, you know, love others as I have loved you. So it's taking that love to the next step. And that does not have division, you know. So that's why, again, our Protestant brothers and sisters and our charismatic Catholic brothers and sisters are all saying the same thing, that we just feel that the Holy Spirit is going to come in a very big way and enlighten the people that are here and show them from some special grace what's going to be happening, like, in the world and how important they are to God.
During our lifetime.
So, uh-huh.
Okay, listeners, you heard it first on the Ensign Catholic Radio Network. During our lifetime. So basically, it's a revival?
It's beyond a revival because it's going to be worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be worldwide. God would not abandon his children here on earth. And if you look around and you do not have faith, you take a look at the people that are around you in our culture right now, suicides are up.
Yes.
Depression is up. Families are broken. You know, everyone's pretty much tossed out the rules, you know, in terms of the commandments, you know, like they're like, you know, not the commandments anymore. They're the 10 suggestions,
mm-hmm.
we say. So that's not going to stand. That's just not going to stand. So there will be a correction, and the correction will be because of a grace that God is going to be giving all of us, to see, okay, here's where you're at, and here's where you need to be. And, you know, he may convict some of us of the sin that's been going on in our lives. You know, he may take people. I always see this when I see some of the work that people do, wonderful work with some of the homeless people. You know, was that the plan God had for their life? And many times, you know, if they just have someone that'll work with them and point that out to them, that this was not what God had intended for their life. Or women that are you know, that have to go in to sell their bodies. You know, that's not the plan God had for their life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think this grace is going to be happening in a very major way, worldwide, unifying. You know, again, we're in agreement. That I've seen this all from the prophecies from our Protestant brothers and sisters. They believe it. They may not call it the same thing that we call it, but we're all in agreement that there's going to be a major move of God on earth to recognize, you know, who's really in charge, and it's not the devil.
Well, we certainly need it now. I mean, every time we turn on the TV or hear what's happening in the world in terms of abortion and murders and all the horrendous things that are happening in our society, we need that third reawakening now. And I mean, the Lord knows the perfect time. And I'm sure, and I'm not, I mean, you're involved with the renewal on a national level. Are there stirrings happening in the hearts of God's faithful people where they know, you know, the drum is beating, the Lord is coming? It's not the end of the world, but it's a reawakening. It's that spiritual cleansing. Are they hearing the stirrings in their hearts, Gloria, or is it just a select few?
No, and I can tell you again, you need to look at what's happening at the Vatican because, you know, I was invited to the Vatican in 2019 for the launch of Charis.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so you have a number of different movements in the church. They're all wonderful things that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Those movements have been basically started by men. The Holy Spirit at Pentecost poured out a blessing for the church. And Charis recognizes and is given a juridical personality, which is, means that it's allowed to teach this, that the Holy Spirit and what happened in charismatic renewal and in the last century, basically, it's a gift to the entire church. And many of the popes have called the Holy Spirit and this renewal a grace for the whole church. So when you see that at the Vatican level, that that the Holy Spirit is taking a preeminent role now, more than what has been recognized in the past, then you start to see that there's a major game plan that God's doing. And we do feel there's going to be, again, a second Pentecost, much bigger than the first one. And look at the effect that that Pentecost had on people.
Mm-hmm.
So we see it at the level of the heart of the church, which is different than what's happened in the past. In the past, many times, the Holy Spirit was, I'd hate to say this, but like an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought so. When I grew up, I didn't know too much about the Holy Spirit, and I know that I, you know, when I said this sign of the cross, and the sign of the cross, I mentioned the Holy Spirit, and I know that I prayed to him for tests, but I really wasn't actively involved in the, you know, learning about the Holy Spirit. And it's been such a great grace in my life. You know, he's called the advocate for a reason. He helps us out with everything that we have, any issue, any problem, any challenge, any test, any shortcoming that we think we might have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, if we surrender that all to the Holy Spirit, just as we surrender things to Jesus, he's always there to help us out. Think about that, the indwelling power of God. You know, we have God the Father, you know, we have Jesus, and we have an indwelling power of God in us. It's just incredible. The God of the entire universe, you know, has expressed a desire to be with us every single day if we just say yes.
Speaking of saying yes, my friend, if you're just tuning in, you're hearing the voice of Gloria Coyne. We're speaking about getting out of your comfort zone spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Gloria, you have so many gifts. Would you like to lead a beautiful yes prayer, a surrender prayer for that indwelling of the Holy Spirit for everyone who is listening today?
I'd love to. Thank you. Well, I just want to say that, again, at Pentecost, we're talking about Pentecost, and there is, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Yes.
And they refer to that as the dunamis power. But many times it's not translated correctly because that's usually translated as dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the dunamis power of God is not just dynamite, not a stick of dynamite, but it's the dynamite that's lit. So we're going to cause an explosion right now if you're up for it. And we're going to do what I call an empowerment prayer, which is basically, it's three different components, one of which is that you renounce Satan, and you recognize that Jesus is the Lord of your life, and you invite the Holy Spirit to come in and to come alive in you in a more profound way than you've had in the past. So I can say the prayer, and if you'd like to repeat after me at home. Dear Lord Jesus, I renounce Satan and all my sinful ways that keep me separated from you. I thank you for dying on the cross in order to save me from my sins. And with your resurrection, you bring me to new life in you. I wish to surrender myself to you and follow you as the Lord of my heart. I ask you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit and in power that I might follow you more closely and love you more deeply all the days of my life. Let the gifts of the Holy Spirit come alive in me. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Gloria, thank you for being with us today. And I would
thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always a gift, Gloria. And I'm sure all of our listeners have been touched in a profound way. And until we meet again, Gloria, may you have a blessed Easter with your family. And we'll have
thank
you back after Easter.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you very much for having me today. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you for your listeners, too. God bless them.
God bless you. Well, it was very powerful to have Gloria Coyne on with us today. Are you in a stuck comfort zone, a fearful comfort zone, and the Lord is ready to move you spiritually, emotionally, or physically? Really pray back that prayer that Gloria just shared. Ask the Lord to empower you, to deliver you, to show you the way that He has really, really planned for your life and for your family. Know that He has a special plan for you. We're coming up to the beautiful Holy Week, and it is through God's grace that we're even here today to proclaim His word on the air. My friends, I have to make a commercial announcement that Kathleen is hosting a golf tournament on Monday, April 26th at Old York Road Country Club, and I ask that you sign up. And if you want to call 610-527-2906, Maureen can fill you in. We need some sponsors. We need some gifts for the silent auction. It's the major fundraiser for the year. So, friends, happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Joseph's Day. And until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And stay tuned. And thank you, Joe Borsini. And stay tuned for Joe Trainer. And we pray that you have a blessed week. God bless you.